If you're glad to be in the house of God tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sure do want to say we appreciate the privilege and opportunity to be here. Appreciate each one of you that were able to attend the rally tonight. I know it's a Friday night. We could be a lot of different places doing a lot of different things. Amen. But I say if we're in the house of God, let's just keep having church. What do you say? Is that all right with you? Amen. I felt the Holy Ghost here. Amen. It seems like the whole service has just been going that way. And that's why I've come to preach to you tonight. I hope the Lord will help me, and I hope you will help me. I trust you will. We don't want to take up too much time with the preliminaries. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Luke. Amen. The Gospel of Luke, beginning the reading there at verse 49, chapter number 24. And keep your bookmark in Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. Amen. Luke chapter 24, beginning the reading there at verse number 49. If you've got it, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. Then in Acts chapter number 2, beginning the verse at number 1, the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. I'm glad for that, aren't you? You may be seated if you like. Appreciate you standing for the Word of God. Amen. But if you will, look once more at verse 4 of Acts chapter 2. The Bible says, "And they were all filled." Amen. Watch that. "And they were all what? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Amen. I'm glad Luke worded it that way, aren't you? Amen. There's a lot of doctrinal significance that is wrapped up in that one single statement. For Luke says, "And they," meaning the saints, the saved. It was something that came after these people's conversion. Amen. Luke goes on. He says, "And they were." It was not a questionable event. It was undeniable. It was definite. Amen. "And they were all." Not one was excluded. Not one was left void of the Spirit. "And they were all filled." Amen. Meaning they were baptized to the fullest with an abundance. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Amen. That's what I'm preaching on tonight. If the Lord would help me, I want to preach to you very simply on the thought, filled to the uttermost with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Filled to the uttermost with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't know about you, but I just love reading the book of Acts. And I like this book so much because I believe when we flip through each one of these pages and when we begin to read throughout each one of these verses, we quickly find that the book of Acts is a book that comes to life. It's a book that is vibrant and animated with the moving, with the ministry, and with the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And I think it's interesting to note that the book of Acts is the only book in the Bible that does not have a formal conclusion. It's the only book that does not have a definite ending. Amen. And some may wonder why that is, but can I tell you tonight, church, I've got a feeling that God intended for it to be this way. I've got a feeling that it was of God's divine purpose. You know, I feel that way about it. It's because I believe the events that occurred in that day are events that are still occurring in this day. I believe when Luke had said all that he needed to say, when he wrote down all that he knew to write, he then passed the pen on to us. He then put the manuscript in our hands. And I believe the book of Acts is still being written in this generation. Amen. I don't know about you,
But I'd like to add another chapter to it right here in this service. I'd like to fill in a few more verses. Amen. Hey, I don't want to close the book to you. I don't want to give it a conclusion. But I'd like to add a postscript. I don't want to see it stop with us. Let's keep fanning the flames. Let's keep pushing for revival. Let's keep the Spirit active. I say, oh Lord, let it fall on us like it fell on them. Woo! Amen. You look all throughout the book of Acts, and you'll find that both the devil's hand and God's hand were persistently at work, weren't they? Amen. One was trying to tear down the church, and the other was trying to build it up. You see, the devil used a formula to cause failure. And speaking of Judas, Peter said that he was numbered with us. Amen. But we all know what happened to that man. Amen. The Bible tells us how that Judas let the devil persuade him to turn his back on the Lord. And Judas resigned his position with the other disciples. And he was subtracted from their number. He was subtracted, amen, from the church. But the devil didn't stop there, did he? Amen. He then tried to cause division among them. Stephen was stoned. James was martyred. Peter was imprisoned. Paul and Silas fought in contention. And then later on, amen, Paul and Silas were thrown into a jailhouse, separated from their other brethren. There was a force that was trying to cause division, that was trying to divide that early church. And there is a force that is trying to divide our churches today. Amen. But I'm glad that although the devil used a formula to cause failure, God used a formula to create fruitfulness. Amen. The Bible tells us that they lost Judas. But then it goes on to tell us that Matthias was numbered with the 11 apostles. But God didn't stop there, did he? Amen. After the Holy Ghost moved and after Peter concluded his message in Acts chapter 2, amen, we read where the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then in Acts chapter 6, the Bible tells us that in those days, the number of the disciples was multiplied. Amen. Hey, hey, hey. I want to tell you, while hell was trying to use subtraction and division, God was using addition and multiplication. I want to tell you tonight, amen, God will always have a church. He'll always have a few, even in Sardis. He'll always have a remnant. And I say, as long as there is a remnant, there will be a revival. As long as there is a minority, there will be a movement. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can have an upper room experience in these last days. Aren't you? Hallelujah. I want you to realize that not only do we as individual believers need the Holy Ghost, amen, but we as the church, we as the body, need the Holy Ghost too. Amen. I'm reminded of a story I read not too long ago. Perhaps you've heard it before. But the story said that on a New Year's Day, in the Tournament of Roses parade, there was a beautiful float that was soaring down the street. Amen. All of a sudden, that float began to sputter, and eventually it quit right there in the middle of the road. Amen. Some of the bystanders, amen, they said the truck that was carrying that float, without warning, had somehow ran out of gas, and the whole parade was held up until someone could go and get a can of gas for that empty truck. Amen. But Brother Miller, they said the amusing thing about it all was that truck which was carrying that float had been representing the Standard Oil Company. Amen. Even with its vast oil resources, its truck was still somehow out of gas. Amen. And let me say, what a pitiful sight that must have been to see. But you know, it's an even more pitiful sight than that. It's a Pentecostal church that is running without the power of God. If you noticed, amen, that same group of disciples that were filled in Acts 2 were filled again in Acts chapter 4. Amen. You see, they went back for another portion of Pentecost. You know what happened? They started getting dry. They started running on empty. Amen. One preacher said they started started leaking, and they went back for more. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you, church, amen, many times, amen, we've been filled with the Holy Ghost in a previous year, in former days. Amen. But I'm afraid that's as far as we've gotten. That's as deep as we've gone. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, amen, you've got to recapture that moment when you first got blessed, when you first felt His touch. I said you've got to keep getting refilled, and you've got to keep being refueled if you ever want to run on. Amen. I want another dose, don't you? Hallelujah. I want you to notice a few things from our passage. Amen. If you'll just notice in Luke chapter 24 and in verse 49, Jesus said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Amen. I realize that promise was mainly directed to those disciples, but I don't believe it was just for them. Do you? Amen. I believe we were all meant to be partakers of that promise. Think with me firstly here of the enduring promise. The enduring promise. Amen. Luke, of course, was the writer of not only his gospel, but also of the book of Acts. Amen. And although they are two separate books, they both contain the same message. They share the same thought. Amen. For he writes to us about the ascension of Christ and the coming of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Luke informs us at the end of his gospel, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem." Then Luke tells us in the beginning of the book of Acts where Jesus said, "Wait for the promise of the Father." Amen. I know that waiting is often the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Amen. But let me tell you, waiting is just a means of preparation. You see, there must be some preparations before there is a Pentecost. Come on now. Amen. Really, I'm afraid that's the reason we aren't having revival like we used to. Amen. I'm afraid that's the reason we aren't seeing the Lord move like He once did. It's because we've got too many people that's misinterpreted what God meant when He told that early church to wait. Amen. I'm afraid that we're living in a generation that is standing on the wrong side of Pentecost, because right before those 120 had experienced Pentecost, they were sitting down and waiting for the Holy Ghost to move. Amen. But oh, it seems to me like we're living in a day and hour where the Holy Ghost has been sitting down and waiting on us to move. Amen. I don't know about you, but I was just a little boy. My parents always taught me that it was rude to keep somebody waiting. Amen. Hey, can I tell you tonight, church? Amen. It's time for us to quit putting the Holy Ghost on hold. It's time to quit pushing Him back and keeping Him out. We need Him to have authority in our lives. We need for Him to dwell among us. Amen. I say, oh Lord, let it fall on us like it fell on them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I know that there's a lot of preachers and a lot of denominations that try to dismiss the idea of a modern day Pentecost. Amen. Some say that the aspect of Pentecost was ephemeral, meaning that it came and went, never to return again, that it was a one-time phenomenon. Amen. But if you remember, after the Holy Ghost moved in Acts chapter 2, amen, when Peter began to preach in verse 38, the Bible says, "Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then in the very next verse, what did Peter say? He said, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Amen. Peter said He's a gift and He's for all. Amen. Now let me say, I've never received a gift with the stipulation that I have to give it back. Have you? Amen. There's been some times where I've asked somebody if I could borrow something that I needed or that I wanted, and I knew there would come a day when I would have to return what I took. Amen. But I've never had let somebody willingly and voluntarily give me something and then require from me to have to give it back. Amen. Hey, I don't care what the skeptics say. I don't care what those dead denominations believe. I want to tell you, church, Pentecost was not ephemeral, but it is eternal. I said the Holy Ghost is still in business. There is no expiration date on this experience. There is no limited time offer on God's gift, but it is good and it is available to all, for it is a personal and it is a perpetual promise. Can you praise Him all across the house? Amen. They tell me that some years ago, there was an old Indian that had a reservation in Canada. Brother Carlos, they said that some men came to him one day. And they asked that Indian, they said, "Sir, can we build a railroad across your reservation?" Amen. That Indian allowed them to do so. But hey, amen, they said in return, they gave that old Indian a pledge and a promise. They gave him a pass so that any time he wanted to ride the train, he could do so free of charge. Amen. They said that Indian, he wore that pass around his neck to the very day he died. But Brother Morgan, as odd as it may seem to some, amen, that Indian never did take a trip on the train. Amen. I believe tonight that many of us have been like that old Indian. We've got our pass. We've got our pledge. We've got our promise. And we wear it as a token of God's glory. But for some reason, if I may say it this way, we never do decide to get on the train. Amen. Hey, I want to tell somebody, we have the blessing, but yet there is somebody that's not willing to claim it. But I want to tell you tonight, there is a promise that is within reach. It's right at the edge of your fingertips. It's tangible. It's something you can feel way down in the depths of your soul, where the devil can't even put any doubt in your mind. I say I want to keep him within reach. I want to grab a hold of him, and I want to be filled to the uttermost with the Holy Ghost. Woo! You know why so many people feel like they cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost? You know why so many people struggle with being baptized with the Spirit? It's because they don't believe the Lord's words in Luke as a personal promise. It's because the element of doubt in their mind is greater than the element of belief. Amen. But can I tell you, friend, when you doubt the Lord, when you fail to believe God, it is the epitome of insults. Amen. To doubt Him is to put a blot on His character. Amen. It is to blemish the integrity and the sanctity of His name. Amen. To doubt Him is to suggest that it is possible that He is a liar. It's to propose that He will not do what He said He would do. Amen. To doubt the Lord and His promise is to assume that we have more power and more intellect than that of God. I don't know about you tonight, but I say it's time for somebody to take Him at His word. It's time to reach out, to cash in, and to claim the promise of God. It's personal, it's direct, and it's for each one of us. You believe that? Lift your hands all across the house. Look with me again in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24 and verses 52 and 53. The Bible says, "And they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. Notice the Bible tells us as soon as Jesus gave them the promise of the Holy Ghost, it resulted with them worshiping and praising and blessing His name. In other words, the promise resulted with their praise. Amen. Think with me not only of the enduring promise, but also the ensuing praise. The ensuing praise. Amen. I read a story recently that was very interesting. They said that there was a circus parade that was being put on in Milan, Italy some years ago. Amen. They said that while that parade was marching down the street, there was an elephant who swerved out of line and meandered into a church house that was located there. That elephant pranced up the center aisle. He looked at the congregation, even snorted, amen, every now and then. Then all of a sudden they said he swung his trunk around and he finally went out and back outside to follow the procession. Amen. As humorous as it may sound to some, amen, I'm afraid that we've got a lot of people that's got the mentality of worship the same as that elephant did. Amen. They veer into the house of God. They look around at the congregation. They make a few sounds and then before you know it, they turn back around and they move outside to join the parade. But can I tell you tonight, if the Shekinah glory is ever going to fall, if the Spirit of God is ever going to move, if the Holy Ghost is ever going to send us a revival, then we've got to quit playing church. We've got to quit just making it a routine and a ritual. I said we've got to, amen, put our focus on the power and the presence of God. Amen. Isn't that what the early church was doing? Amen. They didn't come in to balance their checkbooks. They didn't come into God's house, amen, to be entertained or to socialize. Amen. No, what were they doing? They were continually blessing and praising God. And I don't know about you tonight, but I want to tell you, church, if the Holy Ghost is ever going to come down, then you've got to get Jesus higher than you've ever had him before. You've got to exalt him. You've got to make him further and farther away. If the closer the Holy Ghost will come. I don't know about you, but I'd like to lift up Jesus' name. And I'd like to get the Holy Ghost as close as I can. Can we praise the name of the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. The best way to get God's attention is to brag on a son. And the best way to get in touch with the Spirit, amen, is to magnify who Jesus really is. Amen, really, that's why so many people, I believe, amen, are lacking the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's because they have failed to give Jesus the praise that he deserves. Amen, and really, amen, I'm afraid that's why everybody is lacking, is because they're not worshiping. Amen. But I want to tell you that scripture still holds true today to many believers. Amen. John wrote it down in his gospel and he paraphrased Christ's words by saying the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. I know that the primary meaning there was just a matter of chronology. In other words, amen, John was saying the Holy Ghost was not yet given at Pentecost because that Jesus had not yet been glorified in his death and in his resurrection. Amen, I realize that. Amen, but I believe there's a twofold application in that verse. Amen, you see, it's not just a prophetical application, but it is a personal application. For my friends, the Holy Ghost will not come in power and blessing at any time without Jesus Christ the Lord being glorified in our hearts, in our lives, and in our testimonies. Amen. I don't know about you. Amen. Too many souls are being left void and are being left vacant of the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know what it is? They are lacking the principle of worship. Amen. We glorify so many things in this world, don't we? We glorify men and groups and programs. But my friends, the Holy Ghost magnifies only one thing, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, if you're ever going to have an appearance or a visitation of him way down in your soul, then he expects the same thing out of you. You've got to start glorifying and praising and exalting and worshiping the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, can we praise him another time all across the house? Amen. I want to live beyond the not yet, don't you?
Amen. I want to start living on the other side of the blessing. How do you do it? By lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I read a story about the Duke of Wellington. Of course, he was the British military leader who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. If you know anything about that Duke of Wellington, then you know that he was not an easy man to serve under. They said he was brilliant, demanding, and he showed no compliments to his subordinates. Amen. They said even Wellington realized that his methods, amen, left much of something to be desired. Amen. But they said that one time in his life, in his old age, a little girl came to him and she asked him, "What, if anything, would you do and change differently if you could live your whole life over again?" They said Wellington thought for a moment. He hesitated. And then all of a sudden that man spoke up. And he said, "If I could live, if I could do it all over again, then I believe that I would give more praise." Amen. Hey, I don't know about you tonight, but I don't want to leave this service thinking, "If I could do it all over again, then I believe I'd give more praise. I want to give him all of my praise." Don't you? Amen. Isn't that what those first disciples were doing? The Bible says continually they were in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I'm afraid too many times we come into the sanctuary. We come into the temple. We come into the house of God. And we follow the first part of that statement. But we fail to complete the end of the verse. Amen. We fail to lift up and exalt the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But hey, I want to tell you, church, amen, you know what I noticed about that verse? Amen. The last time that Jesus saw those people, they were worshiping him. And the last time those people saw Jesus, he was blessing them. Amen. I don't want to see it stop with us. Do you? Amen. I want Jesus to see the church continue to give him worship. And I want the church to continue to be blessed by his hand and by his help. Amen. You know how to get a hold of the Holy Ghost. You know how to get him within your hand's reach. It's to lift up and to praise and to magnify and to big the Lord up. Can we praise him again? Amen. I know we praise him a lot, but he's more than worthy, ain't he? Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close. But look again in Luke chapter 24 and in verse 49. At the latter part of that verse, Jesus uses the words, "until you be endued with power from on high." Until when? Until you be endued with power. Amen. Think with me. Not only of the enduring promise, not only of the ensuing praise, but also of the enduing power. The enduing power. Amen. Now I want you to understand that the Holy Ghost is a living being. Amen. He's not just some it. He's not just an influence or a characteristic. Amen. But he is a real person. He can be grieved. He can be blasphemed. He can be resisted. And all of those descriptions can only happen to a person. Amen. But all realize not only is he a person. Amen. But he is divine. You see, his deity is to be clearly recognized in the scriptures. Amen. You look all throughout the Bible, and just about every time you find or read about Jesus, the Holy Ghost is close by, isn't he? Amen. We read about Christ being born, and the Holy Ghost was his forerunner. Amen. We read about Christ being baptized, and the Holy Ghost bears the witness. Amen. Christ was tempted in the wilderness, but the Holy Ghost went before him and led him through the wilderness. Amen. Christ ascended back up into the earth, but the Holy Ghost descended back down into earth and into every heart of any believer that was willing to receive him. Amen. Yes, the Holy Ghost is a form. He's the third person of the Godhead. And I say, if Jesus needed him in his day, then how much more do we need him in our day? Amen. Somebody say,
said, do I need the Holy Ghost to get to heaven? Amen. No, I don't believe you do. But I like the way that Brother Floyd Parks put it. He said, I don't even want to go to the grocery store without the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't know about you, but I say it's time for somebody to be filled up with the power of the Holy Ghost. We need it in this dark and wicked and terrible day. Just like those disciples, we need the Holy Ghost to enlighten us. We need the Holy Ghost to encourage us. And we need the Holy Ghost to empower us. You believe that, church? Amen. Realize Pentecost did for the church what God's breath did for Adam. Before God breathed into Adam the breath of life, he was nothing but a lifeless form. Amen. But oh, afterward, he became a living soul. And so it is with the Holy Ghost. For without the Holy Ghost, we are nothing but a lifeless, unmoving form. It doesn't matter the size of our congregation. It doesn't matter the number on the attendance boards. That's not what's going to give us our power. For as one man said, amen, our problem today is not churches full of empty pews, but rather pews full of empty people. Our problem is we don't have enough men and women that are filled up with the gift and the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you tonight, without the Holy Ghost, we are dead, we are weak, and we are powerless. I say we need a church that's filled up with people that are full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. We need to go beyond the blessing of salvation. Amen. I believe that's a problem with a lot of saints. They've settled down somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. Amen. They've settled down between the cross and the upper room. Amen. They've been to the cross for pardon, but they have not been to Pentecost for power. Amen. You see, creation is God behind us. Bethlehem is God with us. Calvary is God for us. But Pentecost is God in us. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but I say somebody needs to be filled up with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's not limited. He is no respecter of persons. For the Bible says that it's set upon each of one of them. In other words, they all partook of the blessing. Amen. Peter did not get a special baptism. John was not filled up more than the rest of the disciples. James did not receive more of his Spirit than that of the others. It embraced them equally. And I'll tell you tonight, every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, amen, every choir member, every musician, every young person, every Christian parent, every elder, every saint of God can be endued with the power from on high. I believe we can have him for ourselves. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Come, somebody come to music. We're closing. Amen. But I read about an African politician that lived way back in the 1960s. Anybody here remember that time? Amen. They said that African politician, he somehow obtained a Rolls Royce. He was the only one in Africa who owned a Rolls Royce. He would drive it around to some of the major cities there in Africa. And they said that man, one day he finally started wondering how much horsepower was under that hood of the Rolls Royce. They said that African politician, he lifted up the hood. He began to check all over, but he couldn't find the information for it anywhere. Amen. I don't know if it's still this way, but back then in that time, they said that Rolls Royce would not disclose that information. Amen. They said that man, knowing he had some influence and some sway, he started to wire the Rolls Royce company. He asked them that question. He said, how much power is there? How much power is offered? Amen. They said that the Rolls Royce company wired that man back with one word. adequate. Amen. Adequate. Oh, somebody, amen, is wondering tonight, how much power does the Holy Ghost have? How much power can the Holy Ghost offer? I've got one word for you, brother. I've got one word for you, sister. He's adequate. He's adequate. He's adequate to meet your need. He's adequate to hear your heart cry. He's adequate to lift up your soul. He's a healer. He's an encourager. He's a deliverer. I said the Holy Ghost is in the house. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Amen. How many people are in the house tonight? I want to see a show of hands that believe in the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. How many people came to this rally to see the Lord move and work in your life? Amen. How many people believe that the Holy Ghost can still move? He can still minister. He can still touch hearts and lives. Let me see your hand. Amen. You know what that tells me? We're all in agreement. We're all in one accord. Amen. We've created an atmosphere of Pentecost around here tonight. Let's fill these altars. Amen. Everybody in the house, whether you're young or old, whether you've been filled or whether you're still seeking the baptism. Amen. I want everybody to fill the altar tonight and let the Holy Ghost come by and fill up your heart and your soul. Amen. Let Him bless you. Everybody, come on. Amen. If you believe Him, don't stay seated, but come.